the prayer that was offered. I'm going to ask that you each one continue to pray for the service, that the Lord might see fit, according to His mercy, to bless us. We're certainly at mercy's door, and it's totally dependent upon the blessings of Almighty God, and I desire your prayers that the Lord would continue to see fit to bless us. It's good to see you folks here at Columbia, and it's good to see the folks from the Mount Carmel Church, and we enjoyed our visit with them last weekend, and I'm going to relate an experience that they'll have to listen to a second time, I guess, but it's in reference to the radio ministry that we have through Elder Bradley, and such a blessing to us in the Lubbock area, and I enjoyed hearing it while I was here this weekend. But I'd like to tell you of one of the probably most spirit-filled services that I think we've had this year at the little church that I attempt to serve in West Texas. And we encourage our people to tune in and to listen to the program, and we encourage them to tell others, and it's such a tremendous blessing that we receive that the Lord's ably blessed Brother Bradley with. But this one particular morning was the morning that Elder Compton, you were on there, and I believe Elder Hunt from Alabama, and Elder Holder, and those of you that heard that particular message, you remember him hearing they're relating their thanksgiving to what they were thankful for. And it was a tremendous blessing to hear that. But then when we got to church, after the song service, one of the dear brothers got up, and he seldom ever speaks in church. And he's, I guess, in his early 80s, and he never speaks at church. That's just not something that he desires to do as far as offering prayer, or once in a while he might lead a song. But he said, "Brethren, I've got something I just got to tell you." He said, "I listened to the program this morning, and I've got to tell you something that I'm thankful for." And he expressed how that his wife had been bitten by a rattlesnake when she was very young, and didn't know if her life would be sustained or not, but the Lord merciful looked down and sustained his life. And he expressed how the Lord had blessed him, and then he sat down, and other brothers began to raise their hand, and they began to say, "I listened to the program this morning as well, and I was touched, and I want to tell you something that I'm thankful for." And before we got through that morning, six or seven of the brothers in the church had had the opportunity to share with us what they were thankful for, how the Lord had blessed them. It's exciting to me to listen to you and to hear how God has worked in your life. You know, we can read how He's worked in the lives of the Israelites of old, but He works today, just like He did back then. I have a desire to read to you from Luke chapter 15. It seems like the songs that we've sung this evening, and it seems like my thoughts are headed in this direction, and I trust it's of the Lord. We sang the song number 436. We sang, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy as well, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus has already saved you." We sang number 436, and it says, "I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that was astray. He threw His loving arms around me, drew me back into His way." Brothers and sisters, we ought to, each one of us, be able to see ourselves in this condition right here. I have a desire to talk to you about, you talked about family a while ago. Appreciate the prayer and appreciate your comments. But I have a desire to talk to you about two brothers and about a father. Two brothers and a father. And I expect you've heard this story many times before. Many times before. I'm not going to tell you anything new. I just hope the Lord will bless us the short time that we stand before you. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, said there was a certain man and he had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's as far as we're going to read right now. And said he went to his father, and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And he said, not many days after he had gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. Into a far country. That's typical of a rebellious child, is it not? To get away, as far away as they can, from the influence and protection and guidance of parents, of fathers, of mothers, of the surrounding that we have when we're in the family atmosphere. You see, we think we can get away with more when we're not around that influence, when we can get far away. And it's the desire of a rebellious child to get far away from the influence and the protection and the guidance of godly parents, of a godly father, of a church, of a pastor, of our Heavenly Father. We talked about Jonah the other day and how that he took the course that he took to get away from Almighty God. You can't get away from, you can't go far enough to get away from Almighty, and thank goodness we can't. Thank goodness we can't. But he said, after he had gathered all that he had, he went to his father and he said, Father, give me what I've got coming to me. Give me what I deserve, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to pursue my own course. I'm going to head in my own direction. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm tired of being under the influence of my parents. I'm tired of being in this atmosphere, this influence. And he chose to take an ungodly course, did he not? How many of God's children in this day and time are just like this rebellious son that chooses to take what he's got coming, as far as materially things speaking here, take what he's got coming, and then head off in another direction, get far away from the influence of any spiritual guidance, any providential care, to get far away as they can to pursue an ungodly lifestyle, an ungodly course, thinking, oh, things are going to be wonderful out there. You've heard the saying, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I've even seen cows that think that, I think, because you'll see them stick their neck through the fence just as far as they can on the other side of the fence. That the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And they build it up, and the world would have you to think that it is. As far as being in the church and the spiritual aspect of the church, the world would have you to think that what it has to offer is far better than what the church has. You see, we don't oftentimes see the consequence of sin. I know that whatever that riotous living is that oftentimes the child of God pursues here in this life is not pleasing, and it's against our Heavenly Father. It might be the course of alcohol. It might be. And the person that decides to play around with this may not intend to take it to the extent and to the degree that it finally leads to, that it ultimately leads to. He may say, I'm just going to play around with it, and I'm just going to have a drink with my friends every now and then. I don't really see anything wrong with it. But it may develop into something far worse than that. We hear on television that I think it's Miller Time's the best time of the day. The world would have you to think that that's the case. But you don't see all the results as to where that it can possibly take you. You don't see all the families that have been broken up by it. And it just started with just an occasional drink with my friends. You don't see that. The world's not going to show that part to you. It's not. But those of you that have had loved ones, family, friends, that have taken this course, and it just started, it didn't intend to lead that far. Nobody did. My goodness, we can talk to the alcoholics that, why, they had no intention of it going that far. Absolutely not. You may say, well, I have no problem at all with alcohol. That's not my problem area. It's not. In our day and time, it's oftentimes drugs. Is it not? With the kids at schools, my, the peer pressure that they have, and wealthy people that give in to, oh, they just start playing around with marijuana. And it leads to cocaine, and it leads to addiction, and it leads to them giving all that they have. It says here that he spent all that he had, and he began to be in want. The world would have you to build it up and think that that's a grand and glorious thing to mess around with. And oh, you're not going to get hooked on it. You're not going to. But look at the results of it. In addition to it being sin, look at the results that it offers here in this time world. How many people and multitudes that we don't know about. But how many people forsake, they lose their jobs, they lose their families, they lose their friends, they lose everything they have because they chose to pursue an ungodly lifestyle. They chose to pursue this route that this brother took right here. I'm talking about children of God. Think, I'm just going to play with some of those things that the world has to offer. We think about and this is so typical in this day and time about people that are married and choose not to continue to be faithful. And they think, well, I can get by with it. Nobody's ever going to find out. I know some situations that they just thought they'd get by with it, and it's led to the devastation of not just their families, but other families. Other families. I was listening to Elder Dwayne Schaefer the other day, who's a doctor in Texas and an elder at the church at Stephenville, and he said that that several girls had come to him and they were having problems mentally. And he began to try to get down to the root of the problem. What the problem actually was. Oftentimes doctors will just, as we heard this weekend, Brother Bradley said, they just prescribe more pills and more pills. But in this particular case, it says he began to try to get to the root of the problem. And these particular girls had all had abortions. And the clinic that they'd gone to, the doctor said, well, you should think no more of it than just clipping your fingernails. That's the ungodliness that Satan offers here in this world. That's the consequence of sin here in this world. The ungodly pursuit, the riotous living that somebody chose. How many of us have taken an ungodly course? Just like this son did right here. We may say, well, maybe I can tell some white lies and it's not really that big a deal. I can get by with lying. That may be the ungodly course that we take. It really isn't going to hurt anybody. In fact, I can cover them up. Continuing on in that, it can ruin folks in business. It can ruin you at home. It says that after this son had pursued this ungodly course. Now, none of us like to hear about the ungodly courses that people take here in life. But look where we were. Look where we were. If we can't see ourselves in this situation, either this, and maybe this has not been an area that's been difficult for you to handle or deal with. But you can think back in your own life at some areas, at some courses that maybe you there he wasted his substance in riotous living. He ungodly course. And when it's been all he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in wrong. He began to be in wrong. How many of these people that have partaken of these verses that we've talked about, how many of them come to a point that they to spiritual until God works his grace.
Elder Stephen Bloyd from Lubbock, Texas.
Until he takes a rest and shows us that we're wretched. We don't see that we're wretched in God.
For this evening's appointment.
We can't see that there's anything
he made
wrong
a note
with us.
To tell
when
me to take some time, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going
to
read some scripture here.
Things, because
and
God's
then ask the Lord his blessings upon
other
Brother Steve that he
won't.
Might come and speak to us out of the Lord's word. But just some scripture here that I thought was very appropriate for tonight to lead to begin with. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, we read, "Now therefore," after the Lord, or after Paul the Apostle just summed up a tremendous description of the Lord's grace to us. He says, "Therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, all leaning on that cornerstone the Lord has provided, the ancient days himself, that one who is from everlasting to everlasting. We're leaning on him tonight. And we're a household. We're no more strangers, no more foreigners.
He says, I
will but we're fellow citizens of God's kingdom and church.
Look at his attitude.
And
he had a different attitude here
unto
than he did
an holy temple
to his father,
in the Lord. In
when
whom
he first
ye
went
also
to his father, he
are
said,
building together for an habitation of God
give me what I deserve.
Through the Spirit. He is
the invincible,
the invincible resider and president, I hope.
He said,
of this meeting
I'm
this night,
go to my father,
a holy habitation.
And
I trust
father,
that we can all remember
and before thee,
that we are not
no
strangers to one another, but we're all of a
make
household of faith. And that word household means a whole lot
servants.
About family, about
he said,
brothers
father,
and sisters,
he was thinking
about those
to himself,
who care for each other,
he, as he was
those
thinking
who may
to himself,
have lost
he said,
a loved one
I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and
have confidence in each other.
To be called thy son.
And I trust that we can do that this evening.
How many
and
of us,
like
when
ask,
we see our sins as they
all,
are,
all your
when
help
we see the ungodly
prayer,
pursuits, I'm not talking about the ungodly pursuits of others, I'm talking about
service
ourselves.
The purpose of why we met, to worship
we
the Lord,
to be able to apply these
and to get praises for his unmerited and his sovereign grace and bringing us out of the depths of sin and the bondage that we were once enslaved in.
Brother over there, he said, Father,
sin is not an ugly thing, a pretty thing. It's an ugly thing.
I'm so thankful.
And it took God's own dearly beloved Son, His elect.
He didn't come for the high and mighty
to satisfy the demands of His own justice.
To repentance.
And now we can stand confident before Him
that when we feel to be convicted of our sins, when we see that our pursuits have been in the wrong direction.
Appreciate so much the prayer that was offered.
That's there to bind us up and
I'm going to ask that you each one continue to pray for the service, that the Lord might see fit, according to His mercy, to bless us.
No matter how great
we're certainly at mercy's door, and it's totally dependent upon the blessings of Almighty God, and I desire your prayers that the Lord would continue to see fit to bless us. It's good to see you folks here at Columbia, and it's good to see the folks from the Mount Carmel Church, and we enjoyed our visit with them last weekend,
and I'm
going to relate an experience that they'll have to listen to a second time, I guess. But
here comes this son.
It's in reference to the radio ministry that we have through Elder Bradley, and such a blessing to us in the Lubbock area, and I enjoyed hearing it while I was here this weekend.
He saw his sins, and he knew where the blessings were.
But I'd like to tell you of one of the probably most spirit-filled services that I think we've had this year at the little church that I attempt to serve in West Texas. And we encourage our people to tune in and to listen to the program, and encourage them to tell others, and it's such a tremendous blessing that we receive that the Lord's ably blessed Brother Bradley with.
And why?
But this one particular morning was the morning that Elder Compton, you were on there, and
they won't have to go around.
I believe Elder Hunt from Alabama and Elder Holder, and those of you that heard that particular message, you remember him hearing the
said when he came to himself up there, and there's a lot in that.
Thanksgiving to what they were thankful for.
Different things in our life,
and it was a tremendous blessing to hear that. But then when we got to church, after the song service, one of the dear brothers got up.
My grandfather, for example.
He seldom ever speaks in church.
Went to an old Baptist church.
And he's, I guess, in his early 80s, and he never speaks in church. He
wouldn't go into church.
That's just not something that he desires to do as far as offering prayer, or once in a while he might lead a song.
Was unable to get up.
But he said, brethren, I've got something I've just got to tell you.
He came to himself, and he said, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to go in the church. I told him that he was 76 or 7 years old, I believe, when he joined the church.
Rattlesnake when she was very young. And
we've had a lot of folks back home that
if her life
it takes maybe
the Lord merciful
some physical affliction before they actually
and he expressed how the Lord had blessed him.
You know, they know where the blessings are.
And he sat down,
and they like to go and feast with the folks upon the blessings of Almighty God. We've got a precious
program this morning as well.
She's
and I was touched, and I want to tell you something.
Lubbock Church, and she's 84 years old,
and she just joined.
And before we got through that morning,
her husband had been sick and in the hospital for 6 months.
Brothers in the church had had the opportunity
that we
to share
was
with
just
us
wonderful through that
what they were
time with
for, how the Lord had blessed them. It's
she knew
it's
where it
exciting
was
to me
house.
To listen to you and to
but
hear how God is working
for us
your
to
life.
Come to ourselves.
You know, we can read how He's worked in the
and
lives
that might
of
be
the
totally
Israelites
different
of old,
for you
but
than
He
what
works
it is
today,
for somebody else.
Just like He did back then.
It might be a physical
I have a desire to
it
read to you from Luke chapter 15.
Only
it
God
seems
knows
like
what
the
it takes.
Songs that we've sung this evening.
And then some people, they see
like
the truth and they can't wait to get
headed,
down the aisle.
Headed in this direction, and I trust it's of the Lord. We sang the
coming
song number 436. We sang, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy
God
as well.
God knows what's affected
weak
in each
case. Weak
and
wounded, sick and sore. Jesus has already saved ye.
Can you picture the
we
son, though, and in the
and it says,
state,
I was
the,
lost, but
the
Jesus
terrible
found
state.
Me.
Really, it was a blessed
found
state.
A sheep that was astray. He threw
but
his
he,
loving arms around
he
him.
He didn't just see himself as a sinner. He
his
felt to be a sinner.
Brothers and sisters, we ought to eat
somebody didn't have
able
to tell
see
him
ourselves
that he was a sinner.
In
he
this
felt. He
right
said,
here.
Father, I've sinned.
I
feel
to be
a sinner.
About,
I know that I'm a sinner. I have
appreciate the prayer.
I don't deserve any blessings.
Your comments.
But it's the desire, the case of every child of grace when he's granted
a father.
Grace and the light of grace.
And a father. And I expect
he says, Father, I feel to be a servant. I'm not worthy to be called one of thy sons. Just make me a hired servant.
The Lord will bless us the short time that we stand.
Oh, how that we ought to not just possess that attitude when we come into the church, but
verse
while we're in the church. As we journey down through life, make me one of the hired servants. Don't place me up on a pedestal. Don't give me what I deserve.
And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.
I feel to be a sinner.
He divideth unto them his living.
I don't deserve
anything at all. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country
of the father.
And there wasted his substance.
Would told him, why, you don't deserve anything.
Living.
He would have realized that that's what he deserved. But
and when he had spent
he went
all,
back, he said,
there
Father, just make me one of
that land,
hired
and he began to be
servants.
In want.
He went back,
went
to see,
the,
in a
excuse me,
different
to a citizen
attitude
of that
than
country,
what he had left with.
And he sent him
he
into,
came to
the field, into his
he had a
to feed
change
the
of heart, you might
and he
say.
Would have fain have
he found out that the grass
the
was
husk,
not necessarily greener on
no
the other side.
Gave unto him. And when
he found
came
out that
to
what
himself,
the world
he said,
offered,
how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and
house.
I perish with
in
hunger.
The father's
I
house.
Will arise and go to my father.
Now I'm going
to
tell you about
and will
father.
Say to my father, Father, I have
tell
sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more
when
worthy
the father
to
saw him coming,
son.
Do you think that he ran out
Make
and he reprimanded him? And he had gave him a bunch of questions to answer.
That's as far as we're
and he
read
said,
right
well,
now.
Where have you been and what have you been doing?
Said he went to his father and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living.
It says, and he arose and came to
and
his
he
father.
And he said, not many days after he had gathered all together,
and
he
when
took
he
his
was
journey
yet a
into
great
a
way
far
off,
country.
His father saw him.
Into
his
a
father had been looking for
country.
Him. His father had been praying for him.
That's typical.
His father didn't just leave him out there,
child,
but his father had been
not?
Praying for him and desiring
to
see him coming
and
expected to see him coming.
And protection and guidance of
how many of God's wandering sheep were out in the wilderness that
mother,
we're praying for
the
and were expecting
that, we
that God would work his work of grace in their life
atmosphere.
And bring them to the point that they come to
you see,
themselves
we think we can
and
get away with
that they might.
We're not around
come back
that
into
influence.
The
when
house.
We can get far away and it's the desire of a rebellious child
it says the father
to get
looked
far
up.
Away from the influence and the
father
protection
saw him
and the guidance.
He was yet a great way off and his father saw him. So evidently the father had been looking
father,
in a great distance.
Of a church. Of a pastor.
I expect the father had been praying
of our
for
heavenly
him.
Heavenly Father.
Praying for him.
We talked about Jonah the other day and how that
says
he,
the father saw
the
him
course
and
he
took had compassion.
To get away from
and
Almighty
he had
God.
Compassion.
You can't get
and
away from
and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the
to get away from
son
all my,
said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in
can.
Thy sight and I am no more
but he
worthy
said,
to be
after
called
he had
thy
gathered
son.
All that he had,
but the father said,
he went to his father and he said, Father,
his answer
give me
was,
what
the
God
father said,
to me. Give
bring
me what
the best
I deserve,
robe,
and I'm going to take
put on him and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry.
I want to.
For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
In this
and they begin to be
this influence.
Think
and
of what a happy time that they had. When the
an
father who was
course,
looking anxiously waiting for the son to come home.
How many of God's children in this day and time are just like
and think
this,
of what a blessing it was when the father saw the attitude
that Jesus
that the son didn't
take
come
what
back
he's got
and say, give me some
as far
more.
As materially
I spent all I had. I want
take
some more.
What he's got
the
coming,
son came
and
back and said, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I'm wretched. I'm
bound.
I'm unworthy. And if you send me on my way, that's what I deserve.
Any providential care to get far as far away as it can
to pursue an
ungodly lifestyle.
How about us?
An ungodly
course.
How does
course, the father respond
thinking,
to
oh,
us?
Oh, things are going to be wonderful out there.
The
you've heard the saying,
way.
The grass is greener on the other side
the
of the
same
fence.
Way.
I
how do we respond to
think
others?
That, I think, because you'll see them
when they
stick
come
their
into
neck
the church.
Through the fence just as far as they can on the other
when
side of
the fence.
When
they come into the church.
That the grass is greener on the other
son.
Side of the
Let's
fence.
Let's think about this for a second.
And they build it up and the world would have you to think
now,
that
there
it
was
is.
Another son
his brother.
As far as being in the church,
said the elder son was in
a
field, and
church,
as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Well, thy brother's come home, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, and because he hath received him safe and sound." And it says the brother, he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore the father came out and entreated him, and he answering him, and he answering said unto him and to his father,
"Lo, these many years,
I do serve thee, I have not transgressed at any time thy commandments. And
it
yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends.
To play around with this,
but as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf."
He may say, "I'm just gonna."
And he said unto him, "Son,
I'm just gonna.
Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad.
Far worse than that.
But this thy brother was dead and is alive again.
Here on television,
and was lost and
is found." Miller Times, the best time of the day. The world would have you to think that that's the case.
I hope that we don't ever possess the attitude in the church of this brother
as to where that it can possibly
take. That says,
"I've
been there, and
the families that have been broken up by it."
I read my Bible
often. Just an occasional.
Tried to raise my kids in the church.